This morning, I needed it, and I know a lot of us needed it. And I told Troy after service, and I don't guess I ever tell people this kind of stuff, but me and Troy started preaching about the same time, not much difference. And we've been real good friends ever since. We went fishing the first time about 10 years ago. I was probably 14 or 15. He was old enough to drive, 17, 18, 19, something like that. And we went fishing and hit it off and been pretty close ever since. And I told him that this morning probably was the best I'd ever heard him preach. And we don't get to be in meeting together a whole lot, and I hadn't heard him preach a whole lot, I don't guess, to be honest. But I know he's done a lot better probably other places, and maybe not. I don't know, but that was wonderful, Brother Troy. And I just wanted to say it out in front of everybody. I told him, but I wanted to tell y'all too. I enjoyed it. And I wanted to say a word about our pastor. What a blessing he is to me. And to us, me and Troy and Randy, we all talk about him and how much he means to us as the preachers of the church. And he says a lot about us, and I know he goes on about us and kids around, but we really appreciate him. And I went and preached last Sunday night, and I guess I had preached at Brown's Chapel before, once or twice, but it's been a while, and I don't guess I've been there since Alton's been there. And I went and tried to preach. And before I went, Brother Jeff got me on the phone, and he said, "Now, Blake, you go out there." He told y'all this morning. He said, "Don't be nervous. You did good last Sunday night. You'll do good," or whenever it was last time I preached. Said you'll do. And I told him later. I said, "Really, I don't know of a pastor that's really had that heartfelt desire to encourage me like that." Not saying anything about previous pastors. They've been wonderful, but Brother Jeff really seems to care about us, don't he? And about the whole congregation. I just wanted to say that. And I really appreciate him. But if you want to turn with us in the book of Luke, chapter number 1. Luke chapter number 1 and verse number 46 is where we'll start. Now, I know most of you know this story, most of your Bible readers, and you know exactly what's going on right here. But if you could just go with me for a few minutes and let's read the scripture, and we'll have a word of prayer, and then you can be seated. The book of Luke, chapter number 1, verse number 46. And Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath shewed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalteth them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath opened his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. He, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed, forever." Brother Jeff, will you lead us, please, in prayer? The verse that stuck out to me as I was reading the other day, I didn't know when I'd preach it or if I'd preach it, but it stuck out to me, and it stuck with me till now, was that verse number 49. "For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name." I wanted to read to you this whole portion of Scripture. This is Mary, and being Luke chapter number 1, most of you have got to the place where you understand this is probably Mary, the mother of Jesus. And if you were just to read this portion of Scripture here, I would imagine and I would think that if I was just reading this Scripture, if I were to go over in my mind what had happened to this lady, I would assume that God had either healed her or healed her child or gave her great riches or something great and immaculate like that. I mean, something wonderful had been done to this woman. I would just imagine that something miraculous had been happened in her life. But actually, the fact is, nothing really would be something that we would desire probably as a person in her situation had happened. And I know you're going to think I'm crazy, and I want you to listen with me for a few minutes. And let's go back to number 26, chapter number 1 and verse number 26. And I'm going to read a couple of verses and then let's talk about it. And the Bible says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And so you can imagine now, this is a woman, and if we could wrap our heads around her perspective for just a couple of minutes tonight, brother, just imagine a young lady, and this is a little virgin girl, and had never known a man, and what's more, she was betrothed to be married. And in other words, back then, it wasn't just an engagement like we have today. Me and Brother Jeff was talking about this afternoon. Brother, if you didn't know it, back in these days, when you got engaged, that was just as serious as being married. And brother, tonight, that was the period of time when the one that was to be the husband would go around and try to prepare a place for the family to live, and he would try to get up some money. And it was literally a commitment and a contract between that man and the lady's parents. Now get this tonight. So here she was in a contract, a legally binding contract, amen, with this man to be married. And it was so serious, and I'm not going to get into all the details tonight, but it was so serious that, brother, if she was found to be pregnant, brother, during that period of the engagement or the espousal tonight, brother, he could divorce her and be done with it. It would take divorce. It's not just something like today where you can just be engaged and not engaged, engaged and not engaged. It was legal, brother, and she'd have to be divorced. And can you imagine the ridicule and the pain that she'd have to go through and the anguish and embarrassment as she got divorced? Amen. It was a serious thing. And here she was, and here comes the angel. Brother, here she was just going right along through her life. Brother, I can imagine all women have this fantasy about their wedding and about having children. Most women do, about having children. And, brother, it was a big thing in these days to have children. Did you know, and if you read your Bible, and if you've ever read your Bible any length of time, brother, tonight it was a very big deal for a woman to have children. And if she didn't, she was ridiculed and she was embarrassed because God had made her barren. And people looked down on women that could not have children. And so it's a big deal, and women wanted to bear children to their husbands. Amen. And so here's Mary in this state of mind, my friend, where she was like, all right, I'm engaged to be married. Amen. And one of these days we're going to be married, and I'm going to bear my husband children, and everything's going to be wonderful. And then here comes God and just interrupted her whole schedule. Just interrupted her whole life and sent his angel Gabriel now. And brother, the Bible says that when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. Now let me stop right here for just a second. This was her dilemma right here. Brother, here she was there again, espoused to be married. And brother, and here she was. I don't know what her mindset was or where she was at the time. But brother, here come the angel Gabriel. And brother, she felt the presence of God's angel there. And she heard him speak. And I don't know where she was, or I can kind of imagine that it was dark. I don't know. I'm speculating. But the Bible says that when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying. I don't know what he looked like, but when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, when he said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. When she saw him, she was troubled
and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. Let me just say this right here. If God has ever troubled your heart about something, you're highly favored. Amen. I can't imagine, Brother Jeff. I look back and think about as a 14-year-old boy, God troubling my heart to be a preacher. I don't know how old you were. I know you were in your teens. You're in your teens. I don't know, Brother Andy and Kevin and some of you. I don't know. But when God troubles your heart and says, you've got a job to do, can you imagine in God's eyes, that means you're highly favored.
Yeah.
Amen. That means you're blessed and you're favored of God when He gives you a troubling in your heart to do something for Him. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. But brother, she was troubled, it's saying. And the angel said unto her in verse number 30, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. He had to tell her again. Amen. She got all upset. She said, don't worry about it, Mary. You found favor with God. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of its kingdom there shall be no end. Amen. What a great salutation. Amen. And then here's Mary again. Still in this dilemma. She's thinking, I don't understand this. And she says in verse number 34, then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man?
Yeah,
amen. That's like me, Brother Jeff, and I'm sure that's like some of you. I remember when I was 14 years old, my first message was out of the book of Jeremiah in the first couple of chapters where he said, ah, Lord, I'm but a child, I cannot speak. You remember that? I don't know if any of you was there or not, but it was terrible. It was the worst message I've ever heard, and I was the one preaching it, amen. But tonight, that's what I had, and I said, oh, Lord, I'm just a child, I can't preach, amen. I'm 14 years old. Aren't we bad to question the Lord like that? And here she was, and here's this angel from heaven, amen, Gabriel, the big angel down here. And she said, you're going to conceive in your womb. And he said, you're going to bring forth a son. She'll call his name Jesus. He's going to be a ruler and great. And she says, I don't know. I've never known a man. How is this going to happen? And boy, she was in this dilemma. She said, and the angel answered in verse number 35, said to her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And then he says, if you want proof, listen to this. Behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived in her old age and is in the sixth month with her. And the Bible, and he said, who was called barren. Amen. And if we go forward in the scripture and find where Elizabeth brings forth her son, the Bible says the neighbors and cousins heard how the Lord had showed her great mercy. Amen? Their attitude was, she's barren, she's cursed. Amen. And so here the angel says, if you want proof that God can do this, go talk to Elizabeth, your cousin. Amen. She's going to bear a son in her old age. Amen. Who was called barren. And then the angel gives her this great promise, and we've quoted it over and over, for with God shall nothing be impossible.
Amen.
Amen. Isn't that wonderful? And so here we find Mary's dedication. Mary said, behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Now, I'm going to get on some shaky ground right here, and I'm not going to say one way or the other how I believe on this, but can you just imagine for a moment if Mary had said no? I don't know if she could have or not. I'm not opening that can of worms, but I'm just saying. Imagine for a moment if God sent His angel and said, you're going to bear a son, and His name's going to be Jesus. And He's going to be great, the ruler of all these people. Can you imagine this little old lady saying, no, I ain't going to do that. I'm not going to let God do that to me. Can you imagine? How silly does it sound to you that Mary would have said no? Now think about how silly it is when God comes to us. and says, hey, I need you to go do this. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. And we said, no, God, I ain't going to do that. That ain't my job. Amen? Can you imagine? And so you see her dedication. She says, look at me, angel. That's what the word behold meant in the King James Bible. Amen? She says, look at me, angel. I'm the handmaid of the Lord. Amen? What's a handmaid, Brother Blake? That's a servant. It was literally a female slave. Amen? She said, look at me, angel. I'm a slave to the Lord. Let it be unto me according to thy word. Whatever you want. If God said it, I'm going to do it. Amen. Can you imagine the dedication that she had? She said, angel, look at me. I'm God's servant. I'm his slave, and I'll do what he wants me to do. Amen. Amen. That's her dedication. That's why God went to Mary right there. Amen. Because God knew she'd say yes. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? You say, Brother Blake, I want God to do great things in my life. Are you his servant tonight? Amen. Blake, I want to see great things in my life. I want my kids to be saved. I want my family to be saved. I want my neighbors to be saved. I want to see great things from God. Amen. I told Brother Jeff, I said, you're going to die when I preach tonight because it's going to go right hand in hand where Brother Troy preached this morning. But if we would be a disciple of Christ, it's a road of self-denial. Amen? If we would be a disciple of Christ, that just simply means a follower of Christ. Jesus said it. Brother Andy just quoted it. Luke chapter number 9. If any man would be my disciple, my follower, let him deny himself. Take up his cross daily and follow me. Book of Luke chapter number 9. Look it up if you want to. Amen. This road of Christianity is a road of self-denial. Whether we like it or not, there's things that I want to do that I cannot do. Amen. There's things that I would do and I should not do them, amen, according to the Bible. Brother Troy preached to us this morning, we serve a God who demands righteousness and holiness out of our lives. Amen. I don't like this kind of preaching, I'm honest with you. Amen. I don't like it. It hurts my flesh, but it's the truth tonight. I'd rather somebody preach me an easy, flowery message than something like this. But tonight, the road to Christianity, the road to heaven, is a road of self-denial. We live in a free country. I dare to say that there's none of us here tonight that has ever had to deal with slavery. Amen? None of you have ever been a slave to another man. And if you have, please disregard this statement. I apologize. I don't mean to offend you. But I'd venture to say tonight that none of us has ever been a slave, literally, to another man. And so tonight we have the freedoms that we enjoy in this country. And like Brother Troy preached this morning, since we sinned in the garden, brother, we've took it upon ourselves to take sides with the devil. And we think that we can just do whatever we want to do. Amen. Every man's right in his own eyes, according to the Scriptures. Quote it, Brother Troy, what was it? All the ways of man are right in his own eyes. So we think, Brother Jeff, that we can do whatever we want to do. I'm my own person, Brother Mallory. I can do what I want to do. If I want to go drink a beer, I'll go drink a beer. If I want to smoke a cigarette, I'll smoke a cigarette. If I want to cuss, I'll cuss like that man said to you in your office. I'm a grown man. I'll do what I want to do. Amen. If you'll be honest with yourself as I'm being tonight, you'll have to say that's the truth in my mind. That's the way I feel. I can do what I want to do. And I'll catch myself with that attitude, Brother Jeff. There's times I'll catch myself thinking, oh, ain't nothing wrong with this. Amen. Have you ever done that? Ain't nothing wrong with this. Ain't nothing wrong with that. When in fact, I know according to God's word, I probably shouldn't be doing what I'm about to do. But tonight, the Bible says that we are bought with a price. That means that I no longer belong to myself, but I belong to God. Amen. And if I would be a fellow of Christ, I'll have to deny myself and do what He says I got to do. Amen. Isn't that good tonight? I'm enjoying it. I know I say I don't like it, and that's in my flesh, but in the spirit, I love it. That's good. But wasn't that wonderful, the dedication and the faith that she had to say, Lord, here, I'm going to ruin my life. I know what Mary was thinking, or I can assume what Mary was thinking. Brother Jeff, this is going to ruin my life. I'm going to get pregnant out of wedlock. My husband or my betrothed husband's going to leave me. He's going to divorce me. My parents are going to turn me out. I don't know what I'm going to do. But God said to do it, I'm going to do it. Amen.
That's right.
I've never been to that place. I've never been down there where the rubber meets the road that tough, Brother Jeff. Where I just say, I don't care what mom and daddy says, I got to go with God. Because mom and daddy are Christians. There's people in this world that have been down that road. And in a man's perspective, if you'll hear me just for a few more minutes, I'm not trying to go long. I'm not trying to take these long pauses. But if you'll look at it in man's perspective tonight, God ruined her life in man's eyes, in woman's eyes. And her little 15, 16-year-old friends, I don't know how old Mary was. She had to be young, in my opinion. But in her little friend's eyes, God just ruined her life. But listen to what Mary said. My soul does magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in the Savior, my God. He hath regarded the low estate of His handmaiden. There it is again, His servant, His slave. I've been God's slave, she said, ever since the day I was born. And now He's regarded the low estate of His handmaiden. Amen. And she said, behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For He that is mighty hath done to me great things. And holy is His name. Can you imagine? I mean, I'm talking about she, I'm sure in her mind, it's the way we are. It's just the way we are. Whenever things come out like that, when I was 14 years old and God called me to preach and said, God, I can't do it. It's going to ruin my life. I'm not going to have a normal teenage life. I'm not going to have a normal marriage life. How many people do you know that were called to preach before they got married? That's what I was thinking in my life. But the fact is, in the long run, God had done great things for me. And God has done great things for you and I. And so in verses number 46 through 55, this is her delight. And somebody mentioned it this morning. I don't know if it was in Sunday school or out here or where it was. I think it was Troy Lally's preaching. Some of my favorite scripture, and some of you have told me it was some of your favorite scripture, is in the book of Proverbs, or in Psalms chapter number 37, where it says, delight thyself also in the Lord. He shall give thee the desires of thy heart.
Amen.
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 Say, Blake, I can't surrender my whole life to God. There's too much I've got in my hands. I can't give it to God, Blake. I can't. But you'll have to if you want to be highly favored.
Amen.
If you want to be blessed and have these great things done in your life.
Amen.
If you want to be able to sing songs like Mary did and say, my soul and spirit rejoices in God my Savior. We'll have to surrender everything to God. And so the question tonight is, are you a servant of God? Or are we playing church? Amen. I've been down that road, Brother Tony. It's not a fun road. It's dreary. It's boring. Just to play church. When you're playing church, you'll get to the point where you'd rather not go to church. Amen. And when you're just playing church and you're not living right outside of church, you just assume do other things on Wednesday night, Sunday morning, and Sunday night. You'll get the attitude, well, I can fellowship with Christians other places besides just the house of God. Amen. When we get that attitude of, I'm going to do my own thing, I'll give God part of my life, but I'm going to hold on to the other part. That's playing church. Some of you are in that place tonight. I know you. The message wouldn't have been this way if somebody wasn't here tonight in that situation. Some of you may be new Christians. Some of you may have been saved for years and years. But all you're doing is playing church. I promise I'm not trying to be rude. If this is offensive to you, I'm not trying to be offensive. This is just the message for tonight. Seems like it's been the message for the day, don't it, Brother Troy? Brother Jeff, somebody in this house tonight needs to make things right with God. And it's like Brother Jeff said, it's not maybe it's not necessarily that you've intentionally gotten out of God's will. It's just the things that we omit. It's the things that we say, that can wait. That can wait till next time. Maybe it's knowing to do good and doing it not. Amen. You know what the Bible says about that? It's sin. Amen. How many tonight want to be a follower of Christ? Amen. How many here tonight claim to be a follower of Christ? But are we a follower of Christ? Brother Jeff, I'll be honest with you. Brother Tony, it's entered my mind in the previous months, recent months, that God doesn't put that kind of standards on just anybody, but maybe just on the preachers and the deacons. But maybe not everybody ought to be Bible scholars. And maybe not everybody ought to take advantage of the resources that we have to learn more about God's Word. And maybe not everybody ought to pray continually like me and some of these other preachers and deacons should. But the truth is, I don't find that in the Bible. I believe if we're going to name the name of Christ, we ought to follow Christ. Amen. And I believe that's Bible. Amen. Are we serving God, or are we just playing church? You'll be able to tell a difference on your ride home. Maybe you're able to tell a difference right now. Have you ever noticed how easy it is in church to feel very close to God and feel like everything's going good? Have you ever noticed how easy it is when you're in the house of God to come to the altar and cry and pray, but then something happens between when you leave here and get outside the doors. Something changes, and we go right back to where we were before. Is that just me, or has anybody else ever noticed that? Where we can tell that we're serving God is not here, but it's out there. Am I right? I don't have to be right if I'm not right. Amen. But I just feel that way. I come to church to worship. And this part, if you didn't know it, preaching is a part of the worship service. Amen. Not just the singing or the praising whenever we sing the last verse of Amazing Grace, praise God. But this is part of the worship service too. That's why we come here, is to worship. And to recharge the battery. Amen. It's when we get out there and out there is when we find out, are we the servants of God, or are we just playing church? I promise I'm not trying to be offensive tonight, but that's the Bible. I feel like that this is right according to the Bible. And if you go through Mary's life, what a great example. Don't we have so many great examples in the Word of God? So many people to look up to. It's just wonderful. All the people we can look at their lives. Just this short little section and story of Mary's life. Look how dedicated she was. How faithful. She said, I'm your servant. I'm literally your slave, God. Whatever you want from me, that's what I'll do. That's hard. I'm not gonna be around the bush. That's hard. sometimes. But the fact is, in the long run, if we'll just surrender to God, it'll all come out better for us. I don't want to make light of the sermon tonight, but I want to tell you a little story about how years ago in the South, the big money crop was cotton. A lot of you know that. We're from the South. And years ago, the big money crop was cotton. And so there was farmers that made their livelihood and raised their family on cotton. They had cotton fields. And their bread and butter was cotton. And if anything happened to that cotton field, they were down the drain. They would lose their home, their farm, their family, they would probably feel like. A lot of people today are without jobs, and you can imagine what it feels. You know what it feels like, some of you. If you haven't been without a job yet, there's plenty out there that have been, and you can talk to them, and it's terrible to be without a job. I mean, I've been to the place where I was so low, Brother Jeff, I just wish God would have killed me. I'm the man of the household. I thought I was supposed to be the breadwinner, amen. Amen. And if I couldn't be the breadwinner, I'd just soon be dead. That's how I felt. And so the big money crop was cotton. And then this little critter came in called the boll weevil. You heard of them? Destroyed the cotton. Destroyed it. Came in and took out all the cotton, destroyed the cotton fields. That little critter. And I'm sure them farmers didn't know what to do. They probably, their morale was slow. They probably had rather been dead too. But later on, they began to plant peanuts instead of cotton. And come to find out, peanuts were more profitable than cotton was. And so God richly blessed them with peanuts. And so over in Enterprise, Alabama, they erected a statue of a boll weevil in appreciation that he came in and destroyed their cotton so that they could have peanuts to grow. Amen. Sometimes there'll come trouble in our life for God to show us that we've got a greater plane to get to. Amen. That's what happened in Mary's life. Boy, I bet she was on top of the world. I'm about to get married. I'm going to have me some babies. It's going to be a good life. And here come God in there just intruding in her life. And I know that's the way she thought because that's the way this flesh is. It's wicked. Brother Troy preached this morning. It's hard. Our heart is wicked. It's depraved. It's desperately wicked. I'm sure she thought, Lord, you just caused a whole lot of trouble for me, but I'm going to do what you want me to do, amen? But come to find out, look what happened. She was a virgin and gave birth to the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God, who she raised, amen? And then he died on the cross. Don't you think she was a follower of Christ, amen? Her own son, she followed him, amen? And she did what he wanted to do. She even won the first miracle when Jesus turned water into wine. She said, whatever he says, do it. Amen. That was her son. Can you imagine a mama saying, whatever my son says, do it. Amen. Can you imagine? So tonight, as I come with the verse of a song, do you want God to do great things in your life? I'm not talking about making you a millionaire, but doing great things in your life. Why, I've read crazy stories, Brother Jeff, things that God has done, and it's just unbelievable what God can do. But we don't just get that any old way. We'll have to come to Christ and make the decision to follow Him and to deny ourselves and literally become a slave to God. Sound like that, preacher, but it's the truth. If you've never surrendered your life to God, come now, while He's calling. So many have come. And I know this is the faithful crowd. But why don't we surrender our lives to God? Say, God, I'm tired of playing church. I want to be a servant of Christ. Why don't you come while they sing? What's your number, Richard? 410, near the cross. Jesus. Let me say one more thing and I'll be through. Some of you still haven't come. Maybe God's not dealing with your heart. I'm not here to judge you. That's up to you, between you and God. There's a lot praying here tonight. And I know it's not a huge crowd. It's a big crowd for a Sunday night, but we don't have thousands here. So I know this is more intimate, what I'm about to say. Because I know all of you personally, you all know me. But if God is dealing with your heart tonight, you need to come and pray. But remember this, that your prayer is not the words that you say, necessarily. Brother Jeff, I've been through times where I'll say the same prayer over and over, and it just becomes words. But your prayer and a message like tonight is a change of heart. And it's a decision you got to make. It's not necessarily coming and saying, God, all right, I'll surrender to you because of the message. It's a heart changing experience you'll have to have. I've had it, so I can testify about it. There's some times that, Brother Jeff, you just got to make a decision. God, this is the way it's going to be with me. I'm going to surrender to you. And that's the decision that we all have to make. In actuality, we should have all made that decision when we came to Christ. That should have been the change of heart that we had. It's to follow Him regardless and to surrender our lives to Him. And that's probably what did happen when you got saved. But time creeps in. And weights and sins creep in. And after a very short period of time, we'll walk away from the Lord. And we won't be as completely surrendered as we were when we first got saved. Now I know that you have to grow after you get saved. And you learn things and things will change and you'll mature. Don't get me wrong. But just like, who was it quoted this morning? The man that said, when a man gets saved, if he's truly right with God, he's repenting every day. Amen. True repentance is this: turning away from what you're doing wrong. And in my mind, it's surrendering my life to God. Which is a serious statement to make, because there's been many who have surrendered their lives to God, and God said to go to Africa. Amen. There's been many who said, God, I'll surrender my life to you. And it cost them everything. Cost them their job. Cost them their family. I can tell you a story I probably have in the past about a young lady over in India. There was a mission over there, missionary preaching. This young lady came in and gave her heart and life to Christ. She said, God, I surrender my all to you. That's the decision that she made. When she went home and told her parents said, you're out. You're dead to us. You can no longer stay here. It cost her family. Not only that, the next night at revival, her daddy came in the meeting and stabbed her right in front of everybody. And it cost her life. How simple is it for people in America to say, I surrender all to God? We don't have a threat of those things here. We don't have a threat of somebody killing us because we're a Christian. It's happened a couple of times in the past few years. I know the Columbine shooting, and please don't think I'm making light of it. But in a general statement, you can say that we don't have the fear of dying for our Christianity in America. But it's so funny that in a place like this, you find it so hard for people to just to surrender all to God. We got such freedom. Yet we don't take advantage of it and give it all to God. If you're still in your seat tonight and God's dealing with your heart, come on and surrender to Him. This is what we need. I know it sounds funny. I'm just 25. I know it sounds funny coming from me. It'd probably be better coming from Brother Jeff. But tonight, this is what America needs. It's for people to surrender to God. What happens is we'll go through and we'll say, God, you can have my church life, but my home life belongs to me. and then we'll vote the wrong way. Amen? We'll sit on our hands and not do nothing when it comes time to stand for God. Amen? That's what happens. I promise I'm not trying to be like, shame on us. That's just the message for tonight. So if you're still in your sins tonight, if you still feel like you're broken down in your walk with God, come now. Don't wait. Come while He's drawing you. You know what the Bible says? No man can come unto me except my Father draw him. That's what Jesus said. You can't just come on your own. So come now while God's drawing.